So you found a new love, or you're thinking about dating someone, but something doesn't quite seem right. Maybe you're starting to wonder, are they a narcissist? Today we're going to talk about 14 early warning signs that you are dating a narcissist, so you don't get stuck with one again. Whatever you do, if they are a narcissist, don't let yourself fall in love with the person they claim to be. So we're just going to jump right into it. Red flag number one, they throw out the L word a little too quickly. It's easy to get caught up in the manipulative web of a narcissist, especially when they're on their best behavior, putting you on a pedestal and idealizing you. That is almost certainly where they're going to be early in the relationship. They'll say, "I love you," really quickly, or they'll tell you it was love at first sight. This is often also the time they'll employ the whole love bombing technique, in which you start to get that soulmate vibe. They'll start to seem like the person you've been searching for your whole life. It will seem too good to be true, because sadly it is in this case. Red flag number two, they're a little too concerned for your personal well-being. Many narcissists are prone to making their romantic partners very dependent on them. They accomplish this by doing things for you, like cooking or cleaning or changing your oil, little chores, things like that, or through controlling your daily activities and even monitoring them. Early in a relationship, this could seem like genuine concern, but if you stick around, it'll turn into something very sinister. See, they want to put you in this place where they become so important in your life that you literally just can't leave them, can't let go of them, even if you want to. Then they like to control you with threats of abandonment and fear. And of course, abandonment is a basic human fear, so we all have it a little bit. And those of us who are raised by toxic people, it's even worse. Red flag number three, they want every second of your time. They're so in love with you so fast, and they just want to take so much of your time. The narcissist just cannot get enough of you, and they're not afraid to say it in the beginning. It starts with constant texts or phone calls, and before you know it, they can't stand to be away from you. They start to expect to spend time with you when they want it, and they get moody or distant if you can't be there with them when they demand it. Well, this leads me to the next red flag, of course, which is number four. They get angry when you can't see or spend time with them. You might start to feel worried about how you're going to avoid upsetting the narcissist, I mean the person you're dating, when you have other plans, so you might even stop making plans without talking to them first. This is just one more way they start to weave that web of control very early in the relationship. What first appears to be the loving desire to be together is really just the narcissist's need to control every aspect of your life. It's healthy to have friends and connections outside of your relationship with your significant other, and you should. If you give in to the need to please a narcissist and you go ahead and you wait for them to tell you what you're doing, when you're doing, etc., you're going to do yourself a huge disservice. Why? Because you're just handing over more control of you and your choices. Narcissists use their anger and your fear of being alone as a way to control your time. This, of course, can lead to them isolating you entirely from others in the future, so be careful. This brings me to red flag number five. They are extremely or excessively critical of other people in their own life. See, a narcissist often shocks you with their extreme criticisms of the people in their life. Whether it's their parents or siblings or friends or neighbors or coworkers, they've always got strong opinions about everyone and how worthy they are. And believe me, no one's immune to this. You'll find out soon enough if you haven't already. Now, if they have kids or they're involved with kids in any way, you'll see the narcissist become very controlling and critical of the kids too, alternating with seeing them as perfect reflections of themselves. Interesting, right? They might also be critical of others' parenting choices, whether or not they're actually a parent. Of course. This can also lend a glimpse into the future. Do you want to have kids with this person? If you already do have kids, do you want them to be parenting them? How would you feel if that person criticized your mother or your best friend in this way? You've got some things to consider here, my friend, because those things will happen if you do stick around a narcissist. This brings me to red flag number six. They treat their mother like she doesn't matter, or like she can do no wrong. Now, if you happen to meet a narcissist's mother or mother figure, you might notice that they are very rude to her and that they treat her with very little respect. She might not even bat an eyelash at it, or she might playfully jab them back, depending on their relationship. But this can alternate with periods of the narcissist putting their mother up on a pedestal, idealizing her, and imagining that their relationship is perfect and that she can do no wrong. And this will especially be true when you're arguing with them later, but especially if you are involved with a male narcissist, while you initially dismiss this as just how their relationship is, and you start to consider it almost endearing. If you look a little closer, or in hindsight, you might just catch a glimpse of how your future will look or sound if you stick around. Speaking of which, let's get to the next point. Red flag number seven, they claim to have a crazy ex. Oh yeah, we have all met someone who has a crazy ex. But when you've got a narcissist on your hands, you'll see early in the relationship that they almost always tell you some horror stories about the ex. They might say their ex cheated or verbally abused them. They might claim that their ex was physically abusive, often hitting them, or that they were emotionally abusive, constantly tormenting them. They might even say that the ex was very, very stupid, or any number of other things. In any case, you'll end up feeling sorry for this person, and that's their goal. Because when you feel that way, you're gonna find yourself doing literally anything you can to avoid being like the ex. This means that the narcissist is actually conditioning you by subtly telling you what they don't want. And by attaching emotional pain to those incidents, they set you up to be just like the ex when they do get past the initial love bombing phase, the idealization phase, and into the devalue phase. You will spend then the rest of your relationship following these unwritten rules without even realizing it. Which brings me to number 8, they point out all the things about you that are better than the ex. This seems like a good thing, right? But no, now that you know how awful the ex was, the narcissist is ready to start idealizing you and putting you up on a pedestal. They're gonna spend some time identifying everything about you that they just love, and those things are gonna be because they're so different from the ex. And you will see, you'll go out of your way to prove that you're nothing like that crazy, horrible person. It's human nature, of course you would. So as I mentioned, the conditioning continues and the narcissist wins. You will be fully in place and set up to try to start conforming yourself to the narcissist's desires. And this, guess what? It's another way they begin to take control of you. That brings me to number 9. They've got a great sob story, and my goodness, they are not afraid to tell it. That's right. A narcissist often has a great sob story to tell, or several. Maybe their parents died when they were young, or this awful ex cheated on them, or maybe they lost everything and somehow they overcame it, or they survived an abusive childhood or some other big tragedy. Whatever the story is, you probably heard it on or around your first date. The narcissist would have pretended to open up to you, to share their deep dark feelings. You might have totally fallen for it and then quickly developed an almost protective feeling toward that person. Now, this is where it gets kind of weird. The narcissist does this for a couple of different reasons. First, because your pity and your feeling of protectiveness gives them narcissistic supply. And worse, they want to then draw you in and make you want to take care of them. And you know what that is, right? Oh yes, it's another way the narcissist wants to control you. I know you're shocked. This brings me to my next point, red flag number 10. The narcissist remains blameless in all situations. That's right. In general, narcissists are unable to accept responsibility for anything ever for their behaviors and the effect of these behaviors on the people around them. They just don't care. Early in a relationship, they will often tell stories in which they are the innocent victim, where they're being used, abused, screwed over by someone. Yes, the narcissist loves the poor me game, also known as narcissistic injury. Since the narcissist is playing a victim, you will find yourself playing the hero once again. You'll want to protect them or take care of them by constantly reassuring them of your loyalty, honesty, dedication, devotion, etc. And guess what? The narcissist, they get a little more control of your world. Of course, as the relationship moves forward, they're gonna start blaming you, and you will become their favorite new scapegoat if you stick around, so be warned. That brings me to number 11. They claim to have a whole bunch of special accomplishments. They really need you to praise them. When a narcissist is not whining about their poor little me thing and heralding their ability to survive such terrible odds and whatnot, they're probably telling you fantastic stories about themselves and their friends. Of course, at first, you love the stories and you don't realize that they're so well rehearsed and probably only half true. Over time, you'll hear the same stories again and again and again, and potentially in various iterations. And if you don't listen and act super interested and praise them appropriately, well, you can expect that they just might throw a little narcissistic rage and a little more injury your way. And my friend, this never ends. So if you're going to try to stick it out with this person, just be prepared to be forced to heap praise on them forever. Talk about emotionally exhausting. That brings me to red flag number 12. They might have substance abuse or porn addiction issues. Not all narcissists are substance abusers, and not all substance abusers are narcissists. And that's the same deal for any type of addict. But if you're dating a substance abuser or a porn addict, you might want to take a second look and peek a little deeper. Even so, you're probably not going to see this early in a relationship unless you're really watching for it. So be careful. A lot of narcissists do deal with drug and alcohol problems, as do many abuse victims, just for different reasons. A large percentage do have issues with porn addiction. Now, this might be due to the fact that they need attention or they like excess everything, or it might be because most narcissists secretly hate themselves and need to kind of numb out on the regular. Either way, it's a red flag and an indication that the person you're dating is quite toxic. Which brings me to lucky number 13, they somehow always bring the subject back to themselves. themselves. Me, 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 it's all about me. The narcissist rarely stops singing their own praises. Now, at first, you might have even thought it was a little bit cute how self-confident they were, or they seemed anyway. But now it's kind of getting annoying. Maybe you read some dating advice somewhere that told you to make it all about that other person in the beginning, and sometimes it actually works. I mean, after all, who doesn't like to talk about themselves a little bit? But when they don't try to learn about you, or even when they just keep interrupting every story you tell with a story of their own, it's a big red flag. Now, you have to remember, narcissists are well known for their inability to listen to anything or anyone that they deem less than or unworthy of their precious attention, and they tend to wait while you speak rather than actually listen to what you're saying. They're just waiting for their turn to say whatever it is they want to say. They don't hear you and can't hear you. And often, whatever they've said doesn't actually follow the conversation because they weren't listening at all. And I hope the irony isn't lost on you when I tell you this next part, because if they don't have the opportunity to talk during a conversation or to say as much as they want, they might interject or even get upset and pout. And as the relationship goes on, they will literally start to tell you that they just don't care what you have to say and nearly require you to listen to them, even sort of quizzing you afterward to check that you were listening to them. Yes. That brings me to number 14. They are oddly and easily upset by small things. Yeah, even though the narcissist attempts to keep their childish ways under wraps during your courtship, if you look closely enough, you're gonna see little signs of toxic narcissism peeking through. And one of the most obvious is that they are quickly, easily, and excessively upset about things that don't really matter to most people. For example, they might be overly rude to waiters and salespeople, or they might treat the lawn guy with contempt. They take things very personally and enact unreasonably harsh reactions. At first, you might figure it's righteous anger, right? And you go about trying to support them emotionally and provide them the love they've been missing. You think you can fix them, and you really, really try hard. Maybe for years, and in some cases, decades. But my friend, you cannot fix a narcissist. You see, while it's possible for a narcissist to change in theory, it doesn't actually happen, ever. I'll put a link in the description to explain why, but they don't change is the bottom line, at least not for the better. Okay, this brings me to the question of the day. The question of the day is, do you see these qualities in someone you're currently dating or in a relationship with, and what would you add to this list? Have you experienced this before? Have you been with someone like this, and did you recognize them as a narcissist? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life, and hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm gonna leave for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit the subscribe button right there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.